You're listening to the Qalam Institute podcast series, Ramadan Reflections by Mufti Hussein Kamani. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Qalam Institute.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa, khususan ala sayyidi rusuli wa khatim al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-azkiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya, amma ba'd. Today, inshallah, in our reflection, we will be talking about how, along with making our body fast, how we can focus on fasting with our heart as well. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us in a very beautiful hadith that indeed in the body there is a part that if it is sound, then everything else in the body is sound. And if it is corrupted, then everything else in the body is corrupted. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then told the companions, that part of the body, that lump of meat that I'm talking about, is nothing other than the heart. And if we, through our fasting, are making an attempt to gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to gain God consciousness, to gain taqwa, then the only way we can guide our body towards the direction of taqwa is if first our heart is on the right track. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions very clearly in the Quran that indeed the one who purifies his heart is successful. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. The one who purifies it, the soul, that body, that heart, that person is successful. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah A'la, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Again, very similar words, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, the one who purifies his soul, purifies his body, purifies that heart, that person is successful. And we see from the many goals the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had as a messenger, one of them was tazkiyah. And tazkiyah is the word we commonly use to refer to the process of purifying the heart. The process of purifying the heart is what we call tazkiyah. And when the heart is purified and when it reaches that high peak of spirituality, we refer to that point as ihsan. What do we call that point? Ihsan, or in English we call it excellence. So we have to remember that there should constantly be a focus, that whenever we do any ibadah, the ibadah, obviously with having our bodily parts engaged in it, we should make sure our heart is also engaged in it. If you wish, you can call that focus. If you wish, you can call it sincerity. And if you wish, you can call it ihsan, where your heart is at this excellent spiritual state while worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what happens is that if we don't give attention to our heart, and if we don't protect this very valuable part that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, this body part becomes polluted. And as I narrated the hadith earlier on, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every time we commit a sin, a black dot goes onto the heart. And then what happens is that when the heart is covered in darkness, it becomes hardened then. And the heart becomes so hard sometimes that nothing can go in and nothing good comes out of it either. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to these hard hearts in the Quran by saying that sometimes the hearts become so hard that they become like rock. ثُمَّ قَسَدْ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَٰلِكَ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ. That these hearts become so hard that they become like rock. Oh, أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةً. And sometimes we even beat the rock in how hard our hearts become. So in this month of Ramadan, we should make every attempt to stay away from all of those things that make the heart extremely hard and solid. And try to engage in all those things that make our heart soft and moist and bring it too close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fill our heart with nur. Now, every single act that is acted in vain or any sin that is carried out leads our heart to being closer to being hard or being sealed off, turning into that rock that the Quran refers to. And we should make an attempt to stay away from all of them. However, I wanted to highlight four particular things that play an excessive role in the heart becoming very hard. The first thing we learn from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in a very beautiful tradition, لا تكثر الكلام بغير ذكر الله, that do not speak abundantly without having Allah's remembrance inside your speech. فَإِنَّ كَثْرَةَ الْكَلَامِ بِغَيْرِ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ قَصْوَةٌ لِلْقَلْبِ. Because abundance of speech without Allah's remembrance in it is a source of the heart becoming very hard. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, he continues in that very same tradition, and the furthest person from Allah on the Day of Judgment will be the one with a hard heart. Actually, the hadith doesn't mention the Day of Judgment. فَإِنَّ أَبْعَدَ النَّاسِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. The furthest person from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the person with a hard heart. So we need to monitor what our tongues do, what our tongues say, how much we speak. What we speak, obviously we should stay away from haram. One companion asked the Messenger of Allah that what will be one of the great sources of people going to the fire of hell. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pointed towards his tongue. And the Sahabi said, O Messenger of Allah, how can we be thrown in the fire of hell because of our tongue? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, not only will some people be thrown in the fire of hell because of their tongues, but many, many people will end up in the fire of hell because they couldn't control their tongue. The importance of controlling this flesh that we have between our mouth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever guarantees for me two things, I guarantee for him Jannah. Whoever guarantees his tongue and his private part, I guarantee Jannah for that person. So let's learn to speak good, otherwise remain silent. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyaqul khayran aw liyasmut. Whoever believes in Allah and the hereafter should either say a good word or what? If you can't say a good word, what should you do? Shh. Stay quiet. My teacher used to say this beautiful poem every single time. I like it. It's a very interesting poem. He used to say, Khuda ko pasand na thi sakhti kalam mein, isiliye na di haddi zaban mein. That God did not like harshness in speech. That's why he didn't give a tongue, that's why he didn't give a bone in this flesh, right? Be soft in your speech. The second thing is that in fasting in particular, and throughout the year, Mana Hakim Akhtar Sahib, may Allah fill his grave with mercy, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasi'ah, he used to mention this in almost every one of his lectures, the second point that I'm going to mention. He used to say that if you wish to become the friend of Allah, then promise me you will safeguard your eyes from haram glances. Promise me you won't look at haram things and you will become a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Learn to control your gaze. Learn to control your eyesight. Look to the ground. Be humble. Lower your gaze. Anytime you look at something haram, immediately say with a verbal sound, with an audible sound, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Don't just say it in your heart. Say it with an audible sound, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. To remind yourself you looked at something haram and to seek protection and help from Allah to save you from ever doing that again. There are many narrations in this regard. I won't cover them. That'll turn into another lecture altogether. Maybe in the future we'll cover this again in another reflection. The third thing is we have to stay away from bad company. When you stay with bad company, you become like bad people. When you stay with people whose heart is hard, then you become like them. Okay? You have to stay with good people, and you will become good. You stay with people who cry in front of Allah a lot, trust me, you'll learn to cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You stay in front of people and stay with people who make jokes out of the deen and don't take the religion serious at all. For you, the path of piety is very, very hard. So let's stay in the company of righteous people and stay away from the company of those who make us forget Allah. Choose the company of those who make you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just by seeing them, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last thing is that, and this is one of the purposes of fasting, one of the causes of the heart becoming very hard is eating abundantly. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says, when a person eats a lot, his body becomes heavy and he sleeps. And the one who sleeps doesn't spend his time worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And while he continues to sleep and waste his time, his heart becomes very, very hard. That's why in Arabic there's a very famous proverb. They say, قَلْبٌ salim fi jismin salim. That a sound heart only exists in a sound body. You have to make sure you take care of your body in terms of what you eat. The more organic and more wholesome your diet is, even that will have an effect on you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only does he encourage us to eat halal, but he also encourages us to eat tayyib as well. So first thing, let's eat halal, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لا يدخل الجنة جسد غذي بالحرام. That body which was nourished on haram can't enter into paradise. So if you want this body to go to paradise, if you're worried about your young innocent kids and you look at them and you feel that I want this kid to go to Jannah, first learn to feed them halal first. And the second thing, also eat a nutritious, a halal, a tayyib, an organic and pure diet. And Imam Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi under tayyib, he mentions that something that has grown from the ground that is pure, right? So let's make this a part of our diet to eat healthy, eat good, and at the same time eat limited. Remember the beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we sit to eat, one third for food, one third for water, one third for air. And Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi quotes a narration from Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu in his Ihya, that Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu said that I calculated how many bites equal to 1/3 for me, and it was 10 bites. How many bites? Okay, I'm not saying everyone's saying 10 bites is 1/3. Maybe, you know, you're different, okay? Everyone has different appetites. And by the way, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, just as a reflection point, what kind of bites was he taking? With a spoon? How was he eating? How many fingers?
These small little chonch,
like a small little beak. You know, 10 small bites like that, and he used to say, I'm done. I've eaten 1/3 of my stomach, okay? So let's control how much we eat. So these are four things that make the heart very hard. Now let's cover four things that we can do while we're fasting to make our heart soft. Inshallah. The first thing, we need to pray salah properly. When you pray salah with khushu', when you pray salah with pure devotion, it automatically has a very powerful impact on the heart. And at the same time, with salah, be particular to make your dua as well. Remember, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after his prayer was over, he didn't get up and run. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained in his seat for some time, and he would engage in adhkar, and he would engage in dua, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and making different dhikr. You know, there are posters that are printed in throughout the country, you can find them in masajid, and across the world actually, that have all the different adhkar and the remembrances the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was regular in. So let's be punctual in our prayer, and try to be focused in our prayer. That has a very powerful impact on the heart becoming soft. The second thing is remembering death abundantly. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Akthiru dhikra hadhi min ladhat." That remember the one thing that crushes desires abundantly. And what is the thing that crushes desires abundantly? Remember, what's the one thing that crushes desires? Death. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Remember it abundantly, because when you remember death, tears will come to your eyes. You'll remember your abode." Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi in his Ihya gives a very beautiful reflection. He says, "At nighttime when you go to sleep, remind yourself of your death. When you lie down in your bed and you pull that sheet over your head, remind yourself that one day it won't be you who's pulling that sheet, someone else will be pulling the sheet over your face. And you don't even know when it's going to happen." SubhanAllah, just today morning I received a message that one of the board members of the masjid that I'm imam in, ICC, someone who was very, very close to me, he passed away today morning. And just last night at ICC during Taraweeh prayer, he was distributing Zamzam water to everyone. During Taraweeh, he was giving everyone Zamzam. Today morning, he went to Divan to run some errands. He came back home, he vomited, and he... right there, he fell dead. Ni'matullah Sharif. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his grave with nur. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of his sins. And it's so ajeeb, because there's no, you know, how could you depend on life? It could leave you any moment. All he did, he came back, and honestly, for those of the bar, you know him very well, healthy man, right? So healthy. He was one of the uncles that every time I knew I came for salah, he was going to make me laugh. He used to always make jokes. Whatever Quran ayat they read in Fajr Salah, he'd make a joke later on after that. I used to read the last verses of Surah Tahreem a lot in Fajr Salah. He used to say, "Mufti Sahab, aapko pata nahi kyun Lut alayhi salam aur Nuh alayhi salam ki biwi se jhagda hai." I don't know why you're angry at Nuh alayhi salam and Lut alayhi salam's wife. If you read the last verse of Surah Tahreem, you'll understand the joke. Every time I used to read something, he'd come and say something. But the point that I'm making is Imam Ghazali says to us that when you lie down, when you're pulling that sheet over your head, remind yourself that tomorrow someone else may pull it over you. And when you close your eyes, remind yourself that tomorrow you may wake up, but a day will come that you won't wake up again. And when sometimes there are some insects that bite you in your foot while you're sleeping, even that's a reminder. Because tomorrow there will be insects that will bite your body and will eat your flesh. And when you wake up, you won't have anything on you at all. Okay? So let's remember death abundantly. It softens the heart. The third thing is we should try to cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person that cries is a sign that his heart is still alive. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he made dua for a heart that was sound, he also made dua for eyes that cried. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa wa min qalbin la yakhsha. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa wa min qalbin la yakhsha wa min 'aynin la tadma. One after the other. Oh Allah, save us from having a heart that doesn't fear you, and save us from eyes that don't cry in front of you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that a person who cries one tear in this world, that one tear will have the power on the day of judgment to extinguish the fire of hell. Subhanallah. So let's learn to cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. And the last thing, we should engage abundantly in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By engaging in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the hearts seek contentment. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. The hearts seek contentment by engaging in the dhikr of Allah, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly. You know, the other day some brother came to me and he said to me, Sheikh, how do I do dhikr with my heart? How do I, you know, we were talking about the other day doing dhikr with your tongue and doing it with your heart. How do I do dhikr with my heart? So I said to him, when you're doing dhikr with your heart, what that means is that your heart is present and is focused on what you're saying. I remember I went to my sheikh once and I said to him, that what's the best way I can do dhikr of Allah? He said, okay, I'll tell you what to do. Sit down quietly when no one's there to bother you. Just close your eyes and just go and zone out. And then imagine it's the day of judgment and you're standing in front of the throne of Allah. And Allah says to you, you have one last chance to make me happy if you praise me with sincerity. And I'll let you go to Jannah. Then he says, then imagine what kind of dhikr you're going to do. Then that dhikr isn't going to be, subhanallah, 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 subhanallah. We don't even know what I said there. It's subhanallah, 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 subhanallah. That's all going to go out the window. Because you're going to realize the importance of doing your dhikr properly from the bottom of the heart with sincerity. And at the same time, a part of dhikr is what we call contemplation, reflection. Okay? Sometimes you mention the names of Allah, and sometimes you leave the name of Allah for one gathering. And in one gathering, what you do is you just reflect over your state. Who am I? What am I doing? What have I achieved in life? What are my goals in life? And these sort of muraqabat and reflections also help a person in making the heart soft. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps our hearts soft, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purifies our hearts. Allahumma aati nufusana taqwaha wa zakiha anta khayra man zakkaha anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. Sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.